Magic Crystal tells me you are married.
Yes.
Your husband is a well-known professional man, a lawyer.
Why, yes, Vandor.
This is not your first marriage. You were married once before.
How could you possibly know that?
The magic crystal tells me. The magic crystal sees all, knows all. Your first husband was reported dead.
Reported? What do you mean?
He is not dead.
You're wrong, Vandor. Your magic crystal is lying. My first husband died in a train wreck. I can tell you his name in the headlines of the papers.
The magic crystal is not lying. Your first husband was a psychologist, right?
That is right.
About my bill, right?
Your turban and robe and beard make it hard for me to judge.
One night, 5 years ago, your first husband left you to go on a trip. The train was wrecked. As you say, his name was spread across the front pages. But that was an error. Your first husband is still alive.
Brandon is... How can you know that?
The magic crystal sees all, knows all.
Today's radio play, The Magic Crystal, is based on a most interesting story taken from the pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.
Yes, this is Howard Carter.
Yes.
May I see you a moment? I have some news for you from an old friend.
Come in.
What a charming home you have, Mrs. Carter.
You said you had some news for me?
So I have. Do you mind if I sit down?
Thank you.
National?
Certainly, there are cigarettes on that table. This old friend is...
But our news are looking dazzling. Three of them just alike.
Those are the famous gorgeous stilettos. You may have read about my husband having bought them last week at the art auction.
Yes, of course. He paid a lot of money for them. I remember that, too.
You must excuse me if I seem impatient to hear this news. I'm expecting my husband any moment. We're dining out in our
Certainly,
husband.
I understand. A hint to make it snappy. Okay, Mrs. Carter, it's just this. Did you ever know a Brandon Gregg?
Brandon? Who are you?
I'm Kitty Egan, but that's neither here nor there. You have heard of Brandon Gregg, haven't you?
Well, yes, of course. He was my first husband. He died 5 years ago.
Really? Well, Mrs. Brandon Gregg, Howard Carter, it might interest you to know, especially since your husband's being talked about for governor, that Brandon Gregg is still very much alive.
You're lying. I don't know why you came here, but you can't scare me. Brandon Gregg died 5 years ago in a train wreck.
Yeah, use the phone.
What for?
I can prove to you that your first husband is still alive.
How can you prove it?
By letting you hear his voice.
Oh, this is absurd.
Take this receiver and listen.
Hello? Hello? Hello, operator. Operator.
Well, Mrs. Gregg Carter?
Brandon. Alive. Why did you come here, Miss Egan?
To tell you the news.
Is that all?
That depends on you.
What do you mean?
It's worth enough to you. I want to tell anybody else.
Anybody else?
The newspapers, for instance. A story like this might spoil Mr. Carter's chances for election, mightn't it?
You're trying to blackmail me.
Not trying, Mrs. Gregg Carter.
How much do you want?
How much is the election worth for Mr. Carter?
It means everything to him. It's been his life ambition to be governor of the state he was born in.
That's what I figured. Well, I'll be easy on you. I have about $5,000.
$5,000? Where do you think I can raise that much money?
Your husband is generous, judging from your clothes and your home.
But $5,000?
Say, I already paid $500 apiece for those daggers over there. A governorship ought to be worth $5,000.
I'll try to raise the money.
Well, I'll give you until 11 o'clock tonight. My address is at Fremore Arms, apartment 6B.
I'll be there at 11.
There's no use of your looking at me like that. This is purely a business proposition. Well, I'll see you tonight, then. Be sure you bring the money and not one of those expensive daggers.
An idea.
I said before, Valerie, just leave everything to me.
But, Howard, if we don't pay her off, she'll ruin our chances as a governess.
Oh, no, she won't. I'm going to find out a little more about this thing. That's why I sent for your fortune teller friend. What's his name?
Vandor.
Oh, he must be the real thing, knowing so much about it.
was the most uncanny experience I've ever had, Howard.
Well, if he could tell you so much about the past, maybe I can get him to tell me something about the future.
Oh, I see now. You'll ask him how the election will go.
And also, what is going to happen to this blackmail attempt? There he is now. You go along to your room. I don't want him to see you.
All right, Howard. Oh, but be sure to call me the minute he's gone.
Good evening. I was asked to come here for a private consultation. I am Zandor.
Oh, yes. Come in. Mr. Zander, you gave my wife a reading this afternoon.
You will pardon me, sir. I gave a number of wives a reading this afternoon. Which one was yours? I am in doubt.
I'll refresh your memory. You knew something about her that only she and I know. That she was the wife of a psychologist before she married me.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
She was a worthless, improvident rascal. He ran away from Bowery, Mrs. Carter, and the train upon which he was riding was wrecked, just as you said, and he was reported killed. But you say he's still alive.
He is.
How do you know that?
The magic crystal knows all, sees all.
All right, then trot it out. There's something I want to know.
But certainly. Here is the magic crystal. But I must have darkness. Do you mind if we draw the curtains?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, what beautiful workmanship.
Huh? Oh, my gorgeous stilettos. Yes. They're considered pretty good, and they cost a pretty penny.
Oh, I am so sorry. I appear to have broken off the hilt.
Oh, no, you haven't. Those hilts come apart. They say the Borgias used to carry poison in them. Then they dipped the blades in the poison. Well, of course, the hilts are empty now.
Ah, oh, those stilettos are remarkable. Never have I seen such exquisite craftsmanship. But that is not the subject of our meeting. Allow me to concentrate on the crystal. Zandor and his magic crystal are at your service.
Good. Then tell me, Zandor, how will the election for the governorship turn out?
The magic crystal assures you of the election.
Oh, I know I have the party behind me, and the party controls the state. But there's a new fly in the ointment. A woman who came to see my wife at dinner time. She also claims Valerie's first husband is alive. Called him on the phone. My wife heard his voice.
Oh, indeed. How very interesting.
This woman is trying to blackmail my wife with a price for her silence. What does your glass ball say about that?
The woman will not be successful.
Well, you mean she'll get cold feet and back out? Her threat was only a bluff.
Her threat was no bluff. But the magic crystal reveals that her attempt to extort money from your wife will not be successful.
You're right. I'm not going to pay her a cent.
This election means a great deal to you, does it not?
It's my life ambition.
And it means a great deal to your wife because of your desires. Am I right?
Yes.
A woman will not be successful because she will be found dead in her apartment.
What?
Yes. The woman you speak of, I see lying on the floor, stabbed through the heart.
Good heavens.
The magic crystal sees all, knows all. I believe I have answered your question.
Yes. Send me your bill, Mr. Zandor.
I give you good night.
Good night. Good night. Stabbed. Silent forever.
Red Carter, and right on time.
Yes.
Well, where's the money?
I haven't got it.
What? You mean to tell me you dared to come here without it? Why?
Miss Egan, you can't do this thing to my husband and me. We've never even heard of you before. I came here tonight to ask you not to do anything to it.
Is that so? Well, get this. Brandon Gregg threw me aside for you. I was good enough until you came along.
Oh, so that's it.
Yes, that's it. There never was any chance to get back at you until now. And there's only one thing that can prevent me from splashing the interesting story of Mrs. Howard Carter's bigamy across every paper in the city. And that one thing is cash. $5,000.
You're not going to get a cent, Miss Egan.
No? All right, then. I'll get satisfaction.
Who are you calling?
The morning paper.
It's no use bluffing. I haven't any money to give you.
Bluffing? Who's bluffing? Hello? Morning paper? Well, this is Miss Kitty Egan. Traymore Arms talking. I've got a little item about Howard Carter that might interest you if you send one of the reporters over here. Yes, I'll wait. Thank you.
And when the reporter gets here, Mrs. Gregg Carter, I'll spill the dirt so thick that you can wade in it up to your pretty little neck.
Why, you... Oh, somebody's at the door. I've got to get out of here.
Wait in my bedroom. I'll send them away as soon as I can.
Oh, please, I mustn't be found.
Hold everything. I'm coming. Yes? Mr. Carter?
Yes.
What are you here for?
To settle our account, Miss Egan. Well, Valerie, I see by the morning paper a Miss Kitty Egan was found stabbed to death in her apartment late last night.
Yes.
Well, that settles our blackmailer, all right.
Yes.
Why, what's the matter, Valerie? You look as if you were frightened to death.
I am. Howard, I was at that woman's apartment last night.
Valerie, you...
I went to beg her to stop before it was too late. In front of me, she called the papers and asked for a reporter. Said she had an item about you they might be interested in.
And then, what happened after that?
The doorbell rang and I went into her bedroom.
You were in the bed. Go on.
I heard her answer the door. I heard you say you'd come to settle our account.
Well?
Oh, I was frantic. I found a door leading out into the hall. I ran out and started down the stairs. Then I decided to come back and face her with you. I returned.
After I had left?
Yes. Where is the stiletto, Howard? But the hilt is missing.
Valerie, good heavens. Valerie.
Haven't you got it?
I?
Howard, didn't you kill her?
No. I thought about it, but I couldn't go through with it. So I paid her and left. Valerie, did you?
No, I didn't do it. I came back and found her lying dead on the floor. I took hold of the blade and pulled it out. The hilt was nowhere to be seen. I came straight home.
Nobody saw you?
Nobody.
Good. And they can't pin this thing on us.
Oh, who can that be?
Steady, old girl. I'll answer it.
Howard Carter?
Yes?
Come with me to headquarters.
What for?
For questioning in the murder of a woman named Kitty Egan. She phoned the papers. She had a story about you. You were seen going into her apartment. A little later, the reporter coming for the story found her dead.
Howard, what can...
Now. Steady, old girl. If this thing is going to be all right.
Hello? What's this stiletto doing here? And where's the hilt?
Howard.
We'll take this along with us. It might just happen to fit the stab wound.
I can explain everything, officer.
Just a moment. I'm sure Mr. Carter can't explain as well as I.
Vandor.
What are you doing here?
I came to clear up a mystery. The whereabouts of the missing hilt.
You know where it is?
The magic crystal knows all. The murderer took it with him.
You don't say. I suppose that clears up the mystery.
No, but this will.
The missing hilt.
Where did you get that?
As I told you before, the murderer took it with him.
You killed that woman?
Yes.
Why?
Allow me to drop my turban and accent, Valerie.
Brandon, so that's how you knew.
What? Then this is...
Shall we say, an old friend of the family? I haven't been a good friend in the past, but I hope I've made up for it now. All right, officer, let's take a walk. Goodbye, Valerie. Goodbye, Governor.
The radio drama to which you have just listened was suggested by one of the many varied and interesting stories and articles appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer, who has a message of interest for all of you.